Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rebook, the show where we talk about the men and the women who be slapping the meat in the middle of the squared circle and the story they tell in the process, brother. I'm GB, you got Matt, you have Jake, and we have a fun show, as always, in store for each and every one of you. Make sure that if you're following us on YouTube here, that you are subscribed, that you like what we're doing, and maybe comment as well. What was your favorite wrestling match this week? We love to hear from you. Also, leave a comment on Spotify as well, Apple Podcasts, the usual stuff. And you can also check us out at rebookpod.com, where you can find all social media links. Fellas, it's good to be back in the saddle with you guys. How's the week been? Anything fun happen over the last few days? Or not fun?
The week? It's Tuesday, Lemon. What are you talking about?
Well, weekend,
but
I guess.
Since we've seen each other, it's been a week.
And also, this airs on a Wednesday, Jake, so you can at least have a little bit of an illusion of for the audience, you know?
Well, quit poking holes in our jovial intro.
Then it fits that meme.
I guess it does.
It fits that meme even better.
Yeah. I will say, this week I've been having fun building out the our TNA show that we're going to be doing this week. So this Thursday, we're going to be dropping a special YouTube-only TNA series. YouTube-only because I don't really want to go through the hassle of putting everything up on the podcast. So.
And it's good since it's a single show. It's a shorter show with just one show a week, unlike the other companies who have two shows a week. So it's a little bit more condensed. I think, and it's easier to drop in a 20-minute YouTube video than to try to put that out on audio and everything. It's not
exactly.
It'll be more of a bite-sized episode for y'all.
And this week, there is a lot to talk about. Because not only do we have TNA Sacrifice, we had also NXT Roadblock. So those kind of sort of connect-ish in a way. But there's just going to be so many things to talk about TNA related. And by the way, I want to very much stress that this is a TNA show. Okay, this is not an NXT show. This is a TNA show where we will talk about TNA, and we have one of the mouthpieces for total nonstop action wrestling right on this podcast. It's this guy. It's this asshole right there. Look at him. He's beautiful. Beautiful bastard.
I was gonna give a finger. I care about the kids too much.
We did get some fun comments from our...
I got my hair dead and no one said anything, but let's keep going.
Jake, I am... Jake,
no,
I am Jake.
No. You're talking to two bald men.
I know.
Men.
I understand that YouTube don't know what it's like to get your hair did. I understand
you
that.
You cocky bastard.
You could have at least. I mean, we've been here for almost an hour. Just bullshitting.
I am bullshitting.
No one has said anything.
Unbelievable. The things that we go through. Okay, Jake, I am so... Jake, this is your opportunity. No. Show off your hair. You look beautiful.
No, I don't want to.
I'll do it, Matt. No. Get the hell out of here.
Oh, man. All right. Well, guys, we have a pretty awesome community that enjoys, you know, commenting on some of the things that we put out there from time to time. And we're going to start highlighting some of those bits because there's some fun comments. This one comes from longtime viewer of the show, also part of our Discord community, Sergeant McWhiskers. Excuse me. Make sure I get that all focused there.
Sergeant.
Oh, sorry, CG McWhiskers. I always say Sergeant whenever I see his
name.
That's
Stolen Valor, son.
He's a sheriff. Don't worry.
Can't with you right now, man. Here he is, CG McWhiskers. He has a bone to pick with cage matches. Says if the cage match didn't have the interference spot, this is in regards to Kyle Fletcher versus Will Ospreay at AEW Revolution, and had one less kick out, it probably would have gone down as the greatest cage match in AEW, if not all of wrestling history. Fellas, do you agree with not a Sergeant McWhiskers?
I think... I mean, all of wrestling history is bold.
That's a bold one. It's up there, though.
I do agree with the sentiment. I guess, yeah, I do think take away the interference and maybe one less unnecessary false at the end.
Yeah,
but otherwise, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, Jake, what about you? You were there. You witnessed it live and in person.
I did. It was an incredible. It was an incredible cage match. That's for sure. Hard to beat the Hart brothers beating the shit out of each other in a steel cage.
And that one's like a classic. Cause isn't that the match that's like used as the template to of like, because that was the opener, right? If I'm correct, that was the opening match of that particular pay-per-view or something. Was it, or am I thinking of a different Hart Brothers match? Because I remember
you might
people
be thinking about their Mania match.
Oh, okay, I'm thinking about their Mania match because there was like the. Yeah. It's always that whole like, oh, this is the match that like defines like that. You want to be the opener, you know, because of you know you have that opportunity to steal the show. But yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. But I will agree, my biggest gripe, and what's crazy is that
do we count Hell in a Cell as a cage match?
No,
or is that just
Hell
in a Cell match?
Okay, that's a.
I kind of agree. I
feel like the cage match is special in that regard. Like you can't go on the floor, right? Like that's like the whole point of it is that you're in the ring, unable to move, right? But in that case, then would Elimination Chamber? No.
No,
that would
totally
just
different. Yeah. It's totally different.
No,
set of
that's
rules.
Not even a cage. It's a chamber.
Okay. I apologize.
That's a chamber match.
I apologize. I am so sorry. I should have known. All right. Well, look, let's go ahead and move on. So we're actually trying.
Is War Games a cage match? I'm sorry. There's always so many.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, but you don't.
Yes.
I guess
War Games is a cage match. It's just cage match on steroids.
What about that horrible one WCW had, the three levels of hell or whatever?
That was definitely a cage match. That because those were just bad cages built on top of worse cages.
It was a layer cage.
It was a layer cage of pain. What about the Punjabi prison?
Oh God.
We don't talk about the Punjabi.
We don't talk about that. If you want, I can get the Bollywood boys on here to talk about the prison.
Let's do that sometime. Oh, man. So we're trying something new this week. A little different, right? Because the thing is, we like covering all of the stories in pro wrestling and talking about them. But the problem is we're a couple yappers. And sometimes we need to focus in on some of the bigger stories, but at the same time, give some light to some of the smaller ones. And yes, I know that everyone's pointing at me, and I know that I am the one that causes the problem. But to be fair, I save you guys from a lot of my yapping because I edit my final points out pretty much every time. So
I am not brief. I am very verbose.
But you know what it is? We love this stuff. We love professional wrestling and we love talking about these silly storylines that have enamored us for so long. But what we're going to do is try something different. It is called Narrative Notes, and I don't have a graphic yet. I should have made a freaking graphic for it. It would have been awesome.
All that time spent discussing graphics and you don't have one.
But wait, the Narrative Notes is literally a graphic. What are you talking about?
It is a graphic,
yeah,
but
it's
like, you know, it's not a good graphic. You know, it's not like, doesn't have it a bam, you know, like we usually have. In any case, though, Narrative Notes, what are we talking about? Well, here are the headlines, because this week we got a lot of stuff going on in AEW to be excited for Dynamite tonight as you are watching this, even though we already broke the illusion in kayfabe for our audience. We have Orange Cassidy, Ricochet, Mark Davis, and a debuting Speedball Mike Bailey facing off. And the winner's going to be challenging Kenny Omega for a match at Dynasty. Who do you want to see Kenny fight at Dynasty?
I want to see friend of the show Speedball Mike Bailey. I didn't walk down the streets of Las Vegas with him before going and eating rancid meat for nothing for that man to not win a title. So I'm going with Mikey. Let's go, Mikey.
Holy crap, dude. I swear you're never gonna live that thing down. Like you're never gonna let it go, but you shouldn't, honestly.
It's ingrained in my memory.
Damn those people, damn them to hell.
And in that bathroom tub. That hotel tub. It's
Cynthia got us a deal on that hotel in more ways than one. So now of course, so Speedball Mike Bailey. Matt, I'm assuming, is that the same one? Is that who you would like to see as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm biased. I know the guy. I like the guy. He's a friend. But I thought he had a hell of a debut last week. And so I feel like sometimes you just got to let people go on a roll. And I think this would be a great – I don't see – and whoever wins, I don't see taking the title off Kenny.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it would be a hell of a star-making performance to have that match. And I think, you know, Mike Bailey is primed to make that kind of an impact.
Yeah, I am in a similar boat as well. I definitely feel that way. I think Mike Bailey's got it. It would be really fun. I think it's a good match, but man.
He had a hell of a debut.
But let's be honest. Orange Cassidy versus Kenny Omega is something that I would.
Ricochet versus Kenny Omega.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The only one on here is Mark Davis. Watch it be Mark Davis. Watch him win. I'm calling it now. Okay, moving on, though. We have Megan Bain destroys the women's roster, which Timeless Toni Storm took some issue with on Collision. So we'll see. But this feels like, you know, big wrestlers getting just a big push early on. Pretty simple stuff. Billy Starks of Ring of Honor is going to be stepping up against Mercedes Moné.
Billy got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because she's basically a child of Mercedes. And we saw what happened the last time a child of Mercedes was, sure.
Right.
But they're really close, aren't they? Billy Starks and Mercedes, like in real life. I thought they were really close. Like, there's pictures of her meeting her when she was a kid and all that. I'm just saying, be careful, because the last time a child of Mercedes was involved in a match, she got punted into the sky.
Oh, God. And wait, we're
talking about Minnie Moné.
Yeah.
Son, how could you bring that back? How could you, you absolute swine? Think of bringing back Minnie Moné.
Whoa!
Making me calm down.
Call me a swine. My God.
You talked about punning Minnie Moné. Because you brought it back. You brought back the emotions.
Reporting the facts.
You brought back. Oh, you're reporting the facts.
I cannot. It happened.
Oh, man. Well, look, another interesting thing, something that we finally have been asking for fucking ever, a credible threat to the trios titles, because the Ops, which is Samoa Joe, Shibata, and Hook, are going to be making a run for the trios titles. The commentary has been selling this one big time, and very much feels like that's the direction things are going in. Get it done.
I feel like I missed what the Ops means, and I'm too afraid.
The opposition is just. I think it's just the opposition.
Okay.
Yeah, your foe, your enemy. Yeah.
Got it.
And honestly, I just wanted to. Have you seen their theme? Have you seen like their walk, and not their theme, but their entrance? And like, have you heard the theme? It goes kind of hard. It's like, it's really good. Like they got something going there. Like Shibata's got this whole, like, you know, because he always needs like the crew with him, you know what I mean? Shibata. When he breaks out and gets to have those solo matches like he had with Ricochet, holy, that was awesome. That was a fun one. One last thing, though, that I want to talk about in our narrative notes here. It's FTR, because it seems like the what used to be known as the Revival are turning to the dark side, which is, by the way, not unfamiliar territory for FTR. They have been in this position before. But this came off of a matchup with the Undisputed Kingdom. It was a tag match with Roddy and Kyle O'Reilly. But I guess the question that I have because what it's clearly, you know, setting up tensions between Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia. That's like, you know, we'll cover that probably later on. But I guess, do you think that FTR are actually the bad guys out of this? Or do you think it's actually we're kind of being taken for a ride here, and it's actually Undisputed Kingdom that are going to show their true colors eventually?
I don't know.
What would you like to see, rather?
I would love to see the FTR go back on a heel run. I think they're good. Dax is one of my favorite heels to watch wrestle. He has an old school. They all, of course, have an old school vibe. That's kind of their thing. Yeah. But like, he's so inspired by some of those old school heels, those Arn Anderson heels from the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. So just to see these guys go back on one of those runs, I think is really cool. And no offense to the guy, I buy them as heels more than the guys in Undisputed Kingdom.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Jay?
I mean, look, if history has taught me anything, it's don't trust Adam Cole and his buddies.
That's also true.
But if cartoons have taught me anything, it's that bald men with mustaches cannot be trusted either.
Ooh, okay. Well,
both important.
Especially if it's curly.
and they're near like a train track.
Yeah.
That's bad news.
Yeah, I guess that, like, for me, what I'm interested in this is the Daniel Garcia, Adam Cole kind of bleed over, because they were both on commentary. They were both kind of giving jabs back and forth. It was rather tame, if I'm being honest. Although I could tell, like, Adam Cole wanted to go harder, but I think if he did, it would, because he streams all the time. He's always, like, you know, face in front of a camera. So I think if he wanted to, he probably could go a little bit further, but it definitely gave me the vibe where it was like, Daniel Garcia is just playing this cool, confident, cocky, but, you know, lovable, good guy. And then Adam Cole is like the embittered, you know, like a rival in the situation. And I'm interested in that, but I didn't expect the FTR of it all to kind of play out of this as well. And also, do you think heel FTR then goes to the Hurt Business and eventually fights over there? Because that actually feels like, if you're going to make FTR bad guys, why not go that route, right?
They're not business material. They're
no. Do you mean join?
No. Like fight. Like go up against.
Oh,
yeah. So two heels fighting each other?
No, because, well, that's the thing. Do we consider her business heels?
100%.
They hurt people.
Yeah, but like nothing that they've done is bad.
No. But they're clearly booked as the way they carry themselves in the match as characters. They're bad guys. Whether, you know, they're not hitting low blows and stuff like that, but they're clearly.
They're bad guys. But that's the thing. It's like, they're bad guys. Why? You know, like I'm.
And you know what? I could see it. I mean, they do get good reactions. I could see them. If they just kind of keep being who they are, as long as they're not kicking people in the nuts, I think they could become babyfaces pretty soon if they wanted. I don't know.
Depending on who's nuts.
Because also, like, let's not forget, like, they also interfere. Like, one thing that always would kind of, confuse me was when the Hurt Business interfered in the tag match that got the Outrunners the number one contender spot, and they did it against the Murder Machines. So it was like weird that they, and it's like, okay, maybe like the bad guys wanted to not have the other bad guys win is like the case you could probably make for that. I don't know. It was interesting. But yeah, I guess we'll see what happens there. I'm excited either way. I think this is going to be super fun. We'll see what ends up happening from that. But there you have it. Those were narrative notes. We'll, of course, be keeping tabs on everything that's been going on in AEW across Dynamite and Collision. But that, of course, takes us to our main topic, fellas, because we have some, honestly, it's a pretty damn cool movement that's been happening in the main event picture in AEW. It felt like this week, post-Revolution, the idea has been, okay, we need to establish, like, the players, you know? And each one of them had, like, a moment to kind of get their story moving forward in a different direction-ish. And the first one, I think, is to me the most compelling one, which is MJF. Because if you guys had a chance to watch Dynamite, right? I believe it was Dynamite, or was it Collision? I don't remember. It was Dynamite. MVP comes out, and there's just like awesome dialogue between MVP and MJF. And now MJF is in a position where he could join the Hurt Syndicate, which is like kind of freaking cool and out of left field, and I didn't expect that, but I want to get your guys' thoughts. Matt, what do you think?
I think there's no chance in hell it is.
Yeah, right? But it's still cool that this whole
the intrigue is there. The intrigue is there, and it makes you wonder if, in my heart, I don't feel like it happens. I think MJF's too arrogant. Unless he's leading the group,
then, but...
Even him considering it for a second makes for an intriguing thing on paper. Yeah. I'm more intrigued with his interaction with Hangman this week in that backstage they had. I thought that hit some new, which makes me excited that that's not quite done either.
Yeah.
This one I thought was really good. And makes me really I'm very much interested in the Hangman MJF story, and particularly in the journey of Hangman Adam Page at the moment.
Yeah, because like, what is it he's saying, Jake? It's like Hangman thinks that he doesn't deserve their love, and MJF is like, you're right, you don't deserve their love. And it's like, that's good. That's been like his thing, you know, for like a super long time.
No, it was Hangman said MJF what really wants the people to love him.
Yeah, but MJF
said, you think you don't deserve it.
Ah, that's right. Him. And he's like, you don't. Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. That's what it is. But that's kind of been his whole thing, right? That's been Hangman's whole thing. So, Jake, what do you take on the MJF Hangman situation?
I mean, it's... I think we're still just kind of at the beginning of them going down this journey. I think what would also be kind of an interesting thing to have happen is if they end up joining forces in a way.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, kind of like, I don't know. I just, for...
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't hate it, man.
I think that they have more similarities than they do differences right now at where they are. And I think maybe they can both learn something from each other. I think it would be interesting to see them team up. Like, they maybe beat the shit out of each other for a little while, but then start to find some respect for one another.
Yeah.
I think could be an interesting way for this to go.
So, you know, actually it got me thinking, Jake, and this is maybe the Hurt Syndicate thing. And to Matt, your point earlier about them being bad guys, maybe this is how you start to develop some sympathy. Maybe how is this how Hangman starts to like does a Hurt Syndicate go after MJF? Because remember, they, you know, you turn them down, they don't like that, right? And they're gonna hurt you.
Yeah, it's either a merger or a hostile takeover.
Exactly. So MJF now is getting his ass beat by the Hurt Syndicate. And who's the person who comes out to help him out? You know, like that actually would be kind of sick, because it's like he realizes, like, yo, this guy's like alone.
Babyface?
Well,
I think kind of tweener, like Hangman is now.
Like, this could be their team hell no.
Can they coexist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, their team hell no. That's what this can be, you know, not to like simplify it to a WWE storyline, but, you know, like it's just been around for so long. So there's so many stories there that I remember. And this kind of feels like that, you know.
Was MJF Adam Cole, did it start like that? Before they were like best friends or whatever?
Yeah. Well, yes-ish. I remember it was like Adam Cole was going after the title, and then like,
yeah,
it was kind of the same thing. But see, I don't want to see a tag team title run out of this or anything. I just kind of want to see.
You're talking about two AEW originals.
Yeah.
Coming together to beat the three guys, the three outsiders who have come in and started running roughshod over the roster. And maybe they see this as their opportunity to turn things around for themselves and get some gold back. I mean,
you know, or just stand up for one another. That can also just be the possibility too, right? Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. But,
ooh, that'd be damn. Well, we'll see. That will be interesting. Well, that, of course, you know, kind of leads us into Hangman, because it's like, then if that's the case, and I guess that kind of makes sense for him, because, you know, the title scene, as we'll continue to discuss this, is quite crowded at this point in time. So keeping Hangman away from that while still being in this very active, very full face story might actually be a smart decision. So, yeah, then I guess that kind of answers the question, what's next for Hangman? I'm assuming would be something like this then.
So then that's what actually gives me pause about this Hurt business idea, or excuse me, sorry, God, copyright infringement. Hurt Syndicate. It could be a vehicle maybe along the way, but like I would really like them, because I like the, what I'm calling basically the Hangman redemption arc. You know, as he's on this babyface run, and he's defending the legends of the business, like Daniels and Jeff Jarrett and stuff. And he's trying to learn from his past, and he's having a hard time accepting praise and all that. It's a great journey. So I would like them to focus and make it like an intimate solo focused story. So I don't want them to get lost in the sauce of like, oh, this buddy weird tag team, and then the Hurt business, and then this is happening. I there's nothing wrong with just sticking with MJF and like exploring this character development in a more intimate kind of focus.
Yeah.
So as long, I hope they just, whatever they do, I hope they stay kind of on this journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of feel like this, like, this is Red Dead Redemption.
Like he's Arthur?
Like, yeah. Like Hangman's Arthur Morgan, maybe MJF is his John Marsden. You know, it's shit, something like dude. That.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it all kind of has itself laid out that way.
Or is MJF his Dutch? Ooh. You haven't changed.
Yeah.
Come on now. Now stick with it. Kind of gets him back to the dark side. Tries to keep him like, you don't, who are you fooling kind of thing.
Yeah.
Good and point. Meanwhile, he's just like, I'm sick of it. I can't take this crap anymore. I got to make a change. I got to do something different. You know, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, dude. I like that.
Shit,
I like that.
That's cowboy shit.
That is cowboy shit. That is that. And honestly,
so what happens when Hangman gets tuberculosis? That's the real thing.
If he, let me tell you, if he just starts randomly coughing like every now and then,
just his gear has blood on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Hey, man. You know what? That's a move, brother. That's a hold.
Dude,
that's a hold.
There's a lot worse things you can take inspiration from.
Yeah, oh, man. Exactly.
All right. Well, he's not the only one that's looking to go after, you know, some gold in AEW because they're now we have two that we could start with here because the last one we're going to talk about is Swerve, but the two here is Christian Cage and Will Ospreay. Which one would you guys like to start with here? Because I think both are compelling, but for different reasons.
I mean, let's start with Will. I think Will's pretty...
The TB?
The TB's already happening. The TB.
You got the consumption.
So the reason why I say that Will is compelling is because he's made it abundantly clear where he's aiming for.
Yeah.
And he's aiming for a title shot at All In. And if history has told us anything about Will Ospreay, is that when he says he's going to do something... He will be there and he will do it and it will happen. So knowing that, do we like that? Because honestly, I'm not too crazy about that. And maybe they're giving us taking us for a ride here. And I would love to be taken for a ride here and him not win and him miss out on the All In main event. Sure. Like that would be a pretty cool one. But, you know, like if it does turn out that he's calling a shot and this is what's going to happen, is this a good move? Is this a good direction given all the stories that are happening right now?
Well, how would it not be a good move?
I want to open a conversation. I'm just creating a question and then we have a dialogue, you know? Right. So how would it not be a good move? Well, I mean, you know.
Well, I guess
he's Will Ospreay, so you know he's still
the first thing is: do we feel he needs to earn that, like that shot? Like, I mean, because Swerve earned it.
Yeah,
Swerve earned you know his number one contendership. I feel like that's something that Will would also,
which he did. He said he's joining the Owen Hart.
That's the tie-in. He's going to be doing the Owen.
We've learned basically that the men's and women's Owen Hart tournaments seems like they will lead to title matches at All In.
Which I think when we talked about this last year, we said that was the thing that we wanted them to like establish, right? I remember we mentioned that. I should probably go back and look at the old episodes. But that is, I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah, I like that.
It gives you a clear path for people, and I, you know, tournaments and stuff like that can be, when used right, are really good. And so, you know, Ospreay doing the old Babe Ruth here and calling his shot and saying, you know, I'm gonna win it. And I, to your point, GB, I think it's kind of a win-win. Like here's the thing: if he calls the tournament win and he goes through the tournament and wins, it's a little bit more cut and dry and kind of plain. But you end up getting a Will Ospreay title match on a pay-per-view. That's not exactly a bad thing.
It's true.
But
it's true.
I had an idea.
Ooh, we need a graphic.
Maybe a little bit, maybe a little graphic.
A little bit of fantasy booking, a little bit.
I'm thinking a potential heartbreak story for Will Ospreay, because I think he's done with Kyle. I do. I think that was a hell of a swan song in the cave.
Yeah.
Um, And I know I talk about Ricochet maybe not being done with Swerve, but I feel like maybe they are going to take some time away from each other. But man, if Ricochet is really looking to spice things up, maybe he really gets down and dirty and costs Will Ospreay this Owen Hart tournament.
Ooh.
And we end up in a pretty nasty blood feud for All In. So they're ending up being a featured match. And we get some, because yeah, to your point, the image we're sharing on screen now, like, there's been some interaction. There's been some wrestling here in AEW, but like drawn out, like spotlighted main event level, like reigniting that New Japan history they have, flip flopping friggin' everywhere.
Yeah.
So if maybe Ricochet strikes it at a very hot Will Ospreay in that tournament, costs him it, and we get like a really good grudge match at All In.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Ricochet is no slouch in the tournament environment, but we also know that he will cheat in those environments as well, as he did in the Continental Classic. So I think that there is some precedence that could play out. So yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of, you know, we'll see, but it does feel like all signs are pointing to Will Ospreay at All In. We'll, of course, keep eyes on that. But then, and I would argue the way more compelling for me coming out of this was the promo with Christian Cage and Nick Wayne and the Patriarchy. Because that was like, you know, the question was, he failed. Why would they do that? So on and so forth. He didn't get the cash in. He screwed up. And seeing Christian just try and gaslight the whole situation, I thought was like, really awesome, and it fits just this illusion that Christian has created for himself. Does this mean that it starts to see the separation of the patriarchy a little bit? Is it time for that whole thing to kind of start to crumble, and that's the direction things are going in? Or could we see Christian back in the title picture again? Because he did say that he will be AEW champion. I do believe him that they will make him champion.
Yeah, I think so too.
Jake, what do you think?
I don't know. Him, you just burning the contract feels like the death knell for them little bit to me. I mean, because I was going to say what's left for them to do, but it feels like you haven't really done much with them in a while. You give them some promos and they have some matches and that sort of thing, but like they, I feel like the Patriarchy has been so far on the back burner. Like,
yeah, that's true.
That they've got a nice film cooked on the top of them now that you're like, oh shit, I got to stir this. Like it just kind of how it,
yeah,
that's kind of how the Patriarchy feels at this point, which is a damn shame.
But I wonder though, if that's by design. I know that sounds like an odd thing to say.
For what?
Well, to destroy the illusion that Christian Cage, the character, right, has prepared for himself, you know, has made for himself. Because he's just been constantly failing, right? And he's had these people constantly fighting his battles for him, and he's been constantly failing. So it's like, this is the ultimate failure. He's been going around saying, this contract proves that I'm going to be the next world champion. So everyone needs to pay attention to me because I'm going to be the next world champion. Then he goes and he cashes in, he fucks up. And now it's like, you kept telling everyone that you're the next world champion and you screwed up again. You messed up again. You lost in TNT title. You failed to grab it again. And then you screwed up on the cash in for this thing too. So like, why should we listen to you? And that's kind of what I took away from that whole altercation between Nick Wayne and Christian, which led me to believe that that's where things are going to go, which I didn't expect, but I got to say, I didn't mind if that's a pivot, which I don't know if it was or not. I kind of do like the fact that this Christian character has built this illusion of perfection. And then every opportunity that he's had to achieve that goal, he has failed, you know, and how are these people supposed to continue to listen to him? I don't know. That's my interpretation. I don't know.
Because he's their dad and you stick behind your dad.
Thick and thin.
I'm so sorry. I was putting way too much thought into it.
Question.
I was putting so much thought into it. I should have just realized.
Family. Yeah. You don't get to choose your family.
You don't. No. Family. You don't. God, you really don't.
You don't.
And take it from the two bald people here. Sorry, Jake. Two bald people here. We know a thing or two about family. Although Jake did put on a bald cap one time and was family on G4. So, right? You did that, right? Didn't you do that, Jake?
I put on a ball cap.
I thought you put on a ball cap on G4 when we did the family bit. Were you not there for that? An attack of the show?
No.
Oh, I thought they grabbed everyone for that.
Weird lives.
Okay. Do you not remember that bit? That was funny.
I do remember that bit.
Okay.
Now, yes,
okay. I thought they had grabbed everyone in because like weren't that many of us in the freaking studio. So,
right.
But in any case, though, yeah. So yeah, Christian Cage. We'll see where things kind of happen. Now, I guess in that regard, maybe he doesn't go, you know, in that main event picture quite yet. But I'm also curious if he does make good on that promise of being an AEW World Champion. Down the line, only time will tell. But then we had the other big player, which was Swerve Strickland, who has been running into he ran into our dear friend Jonathan Moxley on Collision.
A lead pipe ran into Swerve, yeah. Courtesy of Jonathan Moxley.
Yeah, one Jonathan A. Moxley. So, you know, we're starting to see a little bit happening over there. Swerve getting in that picture. He kind of made his point felt right at the end of Revolution. This is Mox coming back in. I got to say, though, and I got to find this picture real fast because to me, this is the best picture. This right here, John Moxley holding up a crowbar. For our audio listeners with the beanie on, there was something about this when I cropped it that just made me laugh.
This so looks like footage from a ring commercial.
I was going to say, this looks like if John Moxley was cosplaying as the Scranton Strangler, you know, but you know, that being said, it did come this moment, funny as it was, did come off the back of a pretty vicious attack that we saw from Moxley onto Swerve. So yeah, does it, and I guess the question that I have here then is, you know, knowing that we have Cope versus Mox 2 happening tonight in the street fight, but we've also seen some tension between Cope and Swerve. Is there a realistic shot that, you know, Mox loses this belt tonight? Does Cope, you know, get it and we get Cope versus Swerve? Like, I don't know. What do you guys think of this whole situation as it's played out?
Well, first of all, I don't know if this is intentional because I was going to comment on this to the hat and the crowbar and everything. Maybe it was just like, this is what I feel like wearing. It could be that simple, but I'm like, I'm going to choose to believe it was thought out and to the point where like, he's dressed like a common thug,
yeah.
Right? Like almost a cartoonish version of like a thug. He's got a black hat, yeah, black yeah. sweater and he hits you in the back of the knee with a crowbar. That's like something out of like a 40s black and white, like cop film.
Like, he looks like a wet bandit.
Yeah. Kind of thing. So, but part of it is like John Moxley's lost everybody around him, all his armor.
Yeah,
and he is a little desperate and he's a little crazy at the base level already, but now so he's kind of reduced to like, I'm just gonna be a thug in the alley hitting someone in the back of the knee with a crowbar. Not that they haven't, you know, hit somebody from behind before, but just, I don't know, just the visual of it made him seem more kind of, with, for lack of a better term, lowly, desperate, just like a common thug as opposed to a dominant champion standing yeah. above. He was just like, I'm scared. I'm going to dress all in black and sneakily hit you. Like, it just gave an extra edge to that. But given it's a street fight tonight, back to your original question, I think we could see some, especially after this attack, some Swerve Strickland interference.
Yeah.
Maybe accidentally costing Cope that matchup, which could, I don't know if it's going to lead to a triple threat or some, I think it will add to tension between Cope and Swerve.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
the way to Swerve versus Mox at Dynasty.
Interesting. So you think Cope stays in the title picture still?
I don't know about that. I think maybe there's like a side quest with Swerve and Cope on the way to Dynasty. Yeah. I don't think either one of them turn or anything.
I actually think it's going to be Jay White who's going to cost it.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, because Jay White's the one who kind of cost him the first time. And then like he came in, he did. He was like a big part of the reason why he was like laid out to begin with. So that could very well be the direction that this goes into. But I definitely, I mean, shenanigans 100%, this is happening. But Jake, is there a possibility though that we see Mox lose his belt tonight?
I don't know anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess the better question is,
I don't know. Ultimately... It's so odd to see what feels like a cue for like the world title.
But is that like a good thing?
Like,
to
it
have...
feels like there's just a. I mean,
you can have a lot of legitimate threats for the belt.
But I feel like it. I feel like it muddies the waters a little bit, and it like it feels less focused. It feels like a let's throw shit out and see what sticks, as opposed to we have a set plan or direction. And that's how it feels a little bit to me, where it's like, you know, I don't know. It feels like they're trying to do, you know, Infinity War, but like, bud, we're still on like Iron Man 2. Like, we still need some story and some background before we just have all these people in this picture. Cause it's like, okay, well, we had that match for the number one contendership, and then Will says that he's gonna win the Owen Cup so he could be next. And then it's like, yeah. I don't know. So it just kind of, the way that it's being told just feels like it just feels muddled a little bit to me. So because like you said too, yeah, there's still Jay White is still somehow in the picture, you know, like are we going to see something with MJF and potentially Hangman getting back involved in the world title picture? So I don't know, but I mean, it depends on if they're still, I'm really torn. No, we don't see a title change.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't, because yeah, if we didn't see it, we didn't see it at
Revolution.
Revolution, which is when it, if you were going to do it, it should have happened.
Yeah.
So now that it's like, it just, since it still feels like I guess we're still just going on this story. No, I don't think there will be a title change.
All right. Tonight. All right. There you heard it here. There will not be a title change tonight. Definitive statement. We'll see. I'm excited for the show just because this has been like, I really enjoyed Dynamite last week. I really enjoyed the pacing of the show. I think they're doing, you know, they're doing some fun things over there. I feel like more characters have more direction than ever before, which is very good. So yeah, I mean, overall, I'm just, if you're one of those people who are like, oh, AEW doesn't have storylines, I mean, you're just not paying attention. There are some good storylines happening in AEW right now. I mean, chief among them is Hangman and MJF, as we were talking about before. That alone has been very entertaining to follow. So of course we'll be keeping tabs on all of that and so much more, and we'll be seeing where all these stories continue to evolve, but more importantly, how everything falls out from tonight on Dynamite and of course on Collision on Saturday. And of course that takes us to our last segment of the show, the Rebook 24/7 Champion of the week. That of course is the award that we give to the thing that made us the most joyful this week. I forgot to do something, so I'm going to go first because I just feel like this graphic needs to be used. It was given to me by one of our co-hosts.
You did forget to do something.
And there was a really great one-liner this week that our dear friend, Mr. One, Jake Bennett wrote, that I think just deserves its moment, because you see, we've had a lot of, you know, bald people going bad recently, you know, and FTR, right? They're not the only group that has shown signs recently that a heel turn may be in their near future. This, of course, would continue the current trend of bald assholes getting booed in public spaces. And of course, we have.
Wow.
Hey, this was.
Wow. I will have you know, this weekend when I came out to do my duty, I got a Road Warrior pop.
A Road Warrior pop.
Okay. The rafters were shaking.
The rafters were shaking.
Mothers were handing babies for me to not only kiss and high five and take pictures with, but to adopt and take home with me.
You adopted a child.
Because they knew I would be a better role model.
Did you adopt a child? So that, but of course, my rebook.
He will not adopt a child that he fathered.
My rebook 24/7 title is champion nomination goes to Matt for just, you know, just holding it down for the rebook fam and all the bald guys out there, all of us baldies. Jake, was that, is that satisfactory? Did I deliver that well? I hope I did.
It was acceptable.
Okay, I'll take acceptable. For you, I'll take acceptable. Who wants to go next? Who wants to go next?
Hannigan's.
I'll go next. My 24/7 champion of the week is that poor kid that got singled out by John Cena.
Oh God. Oh. Monday Night Raw. Yeah.
That poor kid.
But also
because awesome. I don't know, he's front row decked out in Cena gear. Yeah. Like what it, my headcanon is that he's a Make-A-Wish kid.
Oh shit.
And that's why he was front row, and Cena met him before the show, and he was like, hey, you want to be part of the show?
I mean, I hope.
Didn't tell him how.
And, like, didn't fully tell him how he was going to involve him in the show.
Oh.
And that's why that kid's like, the fuck? What?
Bro.
Me? Yeah.
That was great.
I mean, that was great.
That really was
my
great.
That kid is my
that was fantastic
24/7 champion of the week.
All right, cool, cool. Matt, what about for you?
Mine is related to, it happened because of wrestling, but it's unrelated to wrestling. So mine, this weekend at TNA Sacrifice, I actually sported some accoutrement from other loves and hobbies in the gaming world. And for those who don't know me, I'm a huge Destiny 2 fan, which is a large MMO on FPS game. So I wore one of my nerdy seal pins things that you can get for achieving certain things in the game. And I wore it as a lapel pin, thinking I might pop one or two people. Well, it turns out a lot of people popped. And it got carried by one of the news sources that covers the game. And it just, my Twitter is still blowing up. And so
that's awesome.
My champion is the Destiny 2 community. You guys have been so cool and so awesome. And I guess now I'm becoming a full-time Destiny streamer in addition to commentator, podcaster.
Are you streaming Destiny more often now?
Well, I probably will because I did last night. A bunch of new people came in and everything.
Hell yeah, man.
A little more time for it. I used to do it a bit, but I'm going to make some more time for it at least the next several weeks. So.
Yeah, yeah.
No, everybody's been so cool and enthusiastic. And,
heck yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. A lot of the creators from the community started following me and so like it's just been a really, really cool. So I appreciate all of you Guardians.
Well, you know what? Then Matt, you are our Rebook 24/7 champion of the week. You got two nominations.
No, Matt is not. No. Matt is not.
Bald assholes.
I will give it to the Destiny 2 community.
Okay. All right. I'll give it to the Destiny.
And I guess we're all saying fuck that kid, just like John Cena. So Destiny 2 community.
Look, if there's one thing I've learned.
Poor kid already got chastised and can't even win our stupid award.
If there's one thing I've learned from our government over the course of the last few months, fuck them kids. That's right.
Fuck them.
That's what they're all about. So.
Damn right.
No, but seriously, shout out to the Destiny community. That was awesome. It was cool to see that. So pretty dope stuff. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Make sure, though, that you check out our Friday show. We're going to be diving into all of the things that happened in Monday Night Raw and SmackDown as we get ready for another fun weekend of wrestling. Make sure that you guys are leaving comments down there as well. And if you happen to make it this far into the show, why don't you go ahead, tell us your favorite wrestler of all time, and then drop a little bit of mate, okay? Put a little mate emoji right next to your favorite wrestler of all time. I'd love to hear from it. And who knows, maybe your comment can make it on the show next week. In any case, though, folks, thank you so much for watching. We'll catch you this Friday, and we'll see you then. Peace.